Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mike and Scott.
So, if I could just start by getting your full name and date of birth.
Okay, Michael Joseph Scanlon.
Catholic priest and Villanova professor Michael Joseph Scanlon is resting on a hospital bed, answering a series of routine questions before undergoing general anesthesia.
Ever have trouble with anesthesia in the past?
No, I haven't had that much of a time.
But you had general anesthesia for your previous
About an hour later, Scanlon is wheeled into the operating room at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania, and his anesthesiologist, Max Kells, takes over.
Essentially, what we're going to wind up doing is becoming the patient's autonomic nervous system. So we're going to take over all the functions that the patient would normally do on his own and doesn't give any thought to, like regulating blood pressure, heart rate, breathing. We're just giving you some of the medicine through your IV. So the next thing you're going to notice is a pleasant feeling coming over you.
Moments later, Scanlon slips into a deep sleep-like state. Anesthesia is a completely routine part of surgeries, but a big multi-institution research project is dedicated to better understand a very basic question around this process.
How anesthetics do their thing, how they put people to sleep.
So you're probably thinking right now, hold on, we don't already know that? No. Here's Roderick Eckenhoff again. He's a professor of anesthesiology at the University of Pennsylvania.
Surprisingly, even though we use these drugs in, easily 250 million patients every year across the world, and we have been using them since about 1850, we don't know how they work. We don't have a really clear idea of the molecular targets they engage and how those molecular targets are altered and how they are integrated to produce, I guess the best characterization would be a miracle. That patients go to sleep, they don't remember things, they don't feel things, and most importantly, they wake up.
To figure out this miracle, Eckenhoff is working on a big ongoing research project that brings together scientists from different disciplines, anesthesia, biology, and chemistry.
Anesthetics are really good at what they do. Really good, really reliable. So the problem with making them better, this research ultimately is aimed at making them better. The problem is really reducing side effects.
How can scientists develop drugs to put people under when the process isn't fully understood?
Most drug development, drug discovery, all require you to have a molecular target whose action you understand and whose action contributes importantly to the effect that you're trying to study. Since we don't know how anesthetics actually work, That's a difficult problem. In the very, very early days, they would try it on the investigators, or the, I would almost call them enthusiasts, would try it on each other.
But how did they, were they just thinking, maybe this will work?
Some of it was observation. So, for example, there were things called ether frolics. They'd have parties using nitrous oxide. They would breathe this stuff, nitrous oxide or ether. They would become delirious. Almost a drunken-like behavior, and they'd frolic. And it was observed by some of these people in these frolics that somebody would fall or get hurt and not feel it. And so at some point, it took a while actually, but at some point somebody put two and two together and said, maybe I can use this on when I'm pulling somebody's tooth. And actually it started in dentistry.
And you're an anesthesiologist, so even though you don't fully understand how this works, you know just how much to use and when to use it and all those things?
Yeah, the field has gotten very good at applying these drugs. So we've been using them for a long time, and a medical specialty has grown up around the use of these drugs because they have such significant side effects that they have something called the therapeutic index, which is a ratio of the effective dose over the lethal dose. And the therapeutic index of many drugs out that physicians use is such that the lethal dose is several-fold away, orders of magnitude away from the effective dose, whereas in anesthetics it's only 1.5 to 2-fold away from the effective dose. That's why physicians, that's why anesthesiologists who are trained in the use of these drugs need to use them. And we've gotten really, really good at it because the monitoring and the physiology and the understanding of all of the effects has grown up in parallel with the application of these drugs.
So to go back to your research, what could come out of this research? What is the hope for understanding the process? Because it's already safe.
Right. So that's a great question. We don't kill a lot of patients, you know, doing anesthesia. The mortality rate from anesthesia per se is very, very small. It's 1 in 100, 1 in 200,000. It's exceedingly low. So yes, it's very safe. So what do we expect to get? What we expect to get is improved safety, largely. There is concern right now, for example, that these drugs could have a durable cognitive effect.
What does that mean?
In other words, they might not leave the brain entirely unchanged once they leave. So, for example, if a patient has a pre-existing vulnerability in their brain, for example, an Alzheimer patient or a patient who is what's called mild cognitive impairment, MCI, the drugs could interact with that process in such a way as to accelerate it. And so there is concern right now that is a possibility of these drugs, and we're trying to understand that too.
Many people get very sick throwing up after operations, which is also typically attributed to the anesthesia.
And in many cases, it is due to the anesthesia. Many of the side effects that patients experience after surgery are always attributed to the anesthesiologist by the surgeons often. But yes, anesthetics, there are some notorious anesthetics for causing nausea and vomiting. And so we've developed a series of drugs to try to avoid that and a series of things that we can do. But that's a very important side effect. If you talk to patients, they would rather have pain than be nauseated. So it's a very important side effect that we're trying to figure out how to get rid of, and we're not particularly good at it at mm-hmm. this point. But also for example, when we have a trauma patient who comes in who needs anesthesia for an operation, we have to tread very lightly in those patients because of the significant respiratory and cardiovascular effects of our drugs. They can tip somebody over the edge who's, you know, already close to the edge. And so those are the kind of side effects, these cardiovascular effects and respiratory effects, that we'd like to identify the basis of and see if we can modulate those in future anesthetics, future mm-hmm. drugs.
So basically to see if you can get the nice, quiet, not feeling pain thing without
all the rest, right, all the baggage that comes with it.